Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. The Challenge 38, Ride or Dies. We've got another episode here, and absolutely no feelings on it because it was so boring and we have nothing to say. So we'll see if we can squeeze out an hour here. Or maybe my thought is the complete opposite of what I just said. So let's get into it all. Of course, I am one of your hosts, Matt, alongside my co-host, Scally. Scally, how are you?
Hello. I am riding, sometimes dying watching these episodes, but now I'm excited to be here, talk about the challenge again in what is definitely an eventful episode for sure.
Yeah, you seem pretty embarrassed.
Yeah, just very embarrassed. My anxiety is super high right now, but no, we'll see.
Yeah, you're sounding pretty weak.
Oh, yeah? I sound weak right now? Well, yeah. I think it's pretty weak that you would say that, actually. So.
I don't know. You just, I don't know. You seem pretty embarrassed that you were 20 minutes late to recording today.
So. Yeah, you know what? Maybe on that part, maybe.
Well, okay. Where to start? I mean, sure, you know, we can recap this episode in a nice linear fashion. Or I'm just like, it's like, as soon as the episode ended, like, I was filled with rage, which I imagine a lot of people were as well. These vets are really kind of striking a really tough nerve, at least for me. And then, you know, time away from it over the past 24 hours kind of cooled me down a little bit. And then rewatching it kind of sparked it back up. And it was just at, like, little times. Basically, any time that Jordan opened his mouth is when those angry feelings would come back up. So I just feel like at some point throughout this, it's going to keep coming back up. I don't know. It's frustrating, everything that's happening here.
Mm-hmm. It is super frustrating. I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot. I just, even watching last night's episode, can't watch it live because they, for some reason, insist on putting it on at the same time as Survivor. But even with that, was still like, I have to tweet about this and expressed my thoughts on how frustrating I just find the challenge production really to be as a whole. And even an hour late, got a lot of agreement, it seems like. So I think it's a common sentiment where people are pretty frustrated with, whether you want to say, the casting, the formats, the editing. It's just all making a less interesting program, I would say, than it could be. And not to say that, like, this episode or any in particular have been bad or awful, but it's just tough to find people to root for at times.
I think my frustration is going to be, I'll give casting the week off, I'll give production the week off, because I do feel like the format of the season, with having to put four names in each week, is what's bringing out all of this drama week to week to week to week. I mean, you know, at least the past 2 weeks, if not the past 4 weeks, with the Tommy and Annalise of it all, and it's just been all the way through, with Turbo getting fired up, that was going to happen regardless of how many people got thrown in. But, like, we've had drama, we've had intense episodes through all six episodes so far. Maybe one or two were a little bit slower, but especially the past 2 weeks have been, you know, very fiery. And my frustration is really going to come down to, again, the vets. We spend so much time with all of these rookies and these vets, and the vets are always steamrolling, and you're always waiting for, when are the rookies going to get together and form something? Well, the rookies, as the concept of the rookies, are never going to get together and form something. They're not, they don't stick around long enough to do so. You can't get all of these rookie teams, you know, as much as they tried, and Johnny and Raven and that whole group, you know, we're like, well, let's do the best we can. And they did okay for a little bit. But it takes, you know, people who know that they're not in that group, which is specifically a team like Jay and Michelle. And this is the week that you're watching them do exactly what you've been asking for. Not you, like, you know, the general, all mm-hmm. of us have been asking for all this time. So it's mind boggling to me to see people upset with them for their decision making. Maybe just people just don't like Michelle or both of them. And that's your own decision. You're wrong, but that's your own decision. And then the vets that are, you know, hearing all of this sentiment all the time, they always hear people talking about, like, well, the rookie should put to, you know, try to do something to stop the vets from getting all the way. So, hello, we finally have a situation where somebody stepped in and said, you guys stop right there. We're going to try to do something to knock at least one of you strong teams out. And they said, no, you're awful. You're a liar. You're mean. We're going to kill you. We're going to hurt you. We're going to ruin your lives.
Mm-hmm. The thing for me that's so frustrating is I feel like I really have like sat back and wondered how much of it with the old seasons was, were the vets less entitled? Were there just more sides of the house? Were they not cast as frequently? Was it that it wasn't 90 minutes a week and it was only 30 minutes a week? Was it that it was on for 20 weeks a year instead of 47 weeks a year? Was it that they weren't as overexposed on social media and podcasts and everything of the sort? And I think it's all of it. I think all of it contributes to just feeling like the entitlement from the vets having to be subjected to the same exact people over and over for 47 weeks a year, for 90 minutes a week, for whatever the case you want to say, if you want to then even dive into even more content from them on the outside. It's frustrating. I think most of all what annoys me is their insistence on their own innocence and how they never would have done this to Jay and Michelle, and you should have just been like happy to get 12th place because I should be running the final and not you. And they never really say it. Even on like the podcast this week, Devin is like, so Anissa, from their perspective, who should they have thrown in? And she's like, they could have thrown in anybody, like, just not, it's like, give, and she's like, give one name, and like, we'll refuse to. And I know it's a political game and Anissa will be there back there over and over and over, but just like, there's no answer. And that's what's annoying, is they're doing what they should in the short term of the game. My question is this actually good gameplay for Jay and Michelle in the long run of looking to be a challenge regular in the future? I'm not convinced, just because of how casting goes and the format of the show is with bringing people back over and over. So that's a problem. It's just like when even like Olivia and Horacio, who are doing really well this season, there's no guarantee they're back next season. Like, Emmy and Emmanuel, like, almost were, but obviously extenuating circumstances, they didn't come. Logan didn't come. Ed didn't come. No Priscilla, no Berna, no Esther. No, like, there's so many people from last season that like did decently well, or even like a Kels or a Michaela. Who,
you're saying these names so fast. How are you remembering all of them? Is the cast list pulled up?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gabo, Corey Lay. Like,
stop it.
Like,
you're making me itchy.
Almost every person on last season's cast, it's like, I would have watched them again. Like, that would be fine. But since almost none of them are guaranteed to come back, and almost all of them are guaranteed to not come back, when you have Jay and Michelle and they go out of their way to, like, form relationship with these rookies, it's going to be even harder for them next season when they show up and Anissa is still here, Tori's still here, Nani's still here, like that whole vacation alliance, Devin, like whoever is still here, and they don't cast Olivia and Horacio again, who is like the only people, like they don't cast like Chauncey again or whatever the case may be. Like, the people that they're working with this season probably aren't going to be on next season, the majority of them. So it's really difficult when some people are afforded the luxury of having their allies built into every single season back to back to back, and by going against that, you are essentially screwing your game for the next five seasons.
Yeah. So there's certainly, you can't disregard that. It's, you know, of course, one of the first thoughts in my mind as this episode's going on of like, Michelle's going to be first boot next season. And that's going to suck. That's going to absolutely suck. Because, you know, even last week with all of, you know, the people that she had made upset along the way, that she and Jay had made upset along the way, you know, you still felt like maybe there could have been a bridge, that Michelle and Anissa could have come together. Michelle and Nani certainly could have come together after last week. Nani, you know, was saved by them last week after they had already thrown them, you know, so it was like there's room here. This week turns that, you know, completely on its head, and it's like, okay, there's no chance. The way that Nani was acting towards Michelle, the way that Anissa has, you know, every comment that's been coming out of her mouth from their time out there to this day about them is like, no, I think they're great people. I like them just fine, but like, it's fully got that undertone of, but they're screwed on sight next season. And, you know, so to answer that, it's like, how can you... you know, nothing's guaranteed. There's certainly that, like you're saying, there's nothing guaranteed that Michelle and Jay will be even back. I'm sure, you know, I mean, Jay's been still in the casting pool, despite having, you know, being given a season or two off, and Michelle, they would be out of their minds to let her slip away anytime soon. She is the star of the early portion of this season and last season, and will be the star of the first episode of next season. But you know, so don't let her go. And if she, you know, I don't know. It's like part of me wants to just be, you know, be like, all right, if she has to go out early next season to pay for her, whatever, then, you know, she'll be back for more. She'll be back for a while as long as, you know, she wants to do it, I would say. everybody has their good and their bad seasons. Laurel is, you know, one of the most accomplished challengers, record wise, or just, you know, dominating wise, and is, you know, now on two seasons in a row, not even making it to the halfway point. So, you know, you never know how it's going to go out there. But as far as, like, you know, making memorable challenge moments and being, you know, making a name for yourself and all that stuff, where like the likelihood of Michelle and Jay getting that call back is like infinitively, that's not the word, that's not a word, infinitely higher than almost anybody else on this cast that is not that alliance, you know, of all the vets, at this point. So, you know, that's not nothing. The fact that that guaranteed paycheck will be there for them is not nothing. And the fact that they are doing the best that they can, knowing that whether or not they throw all of these vets in and make this big giant move and piss everybody off, they would have still been going in next week anyway. They would have 100%, like, if even had, you know, they not won back-to-back weeks and Olivia and Horacio won this week, okay, great, they make it another week. The next time that any of the four teams are in power, Laurel, Bananas' team, Anissa, or Casey, any of those four teams come into power the next time that they do, Jay and Michelle would have been one of the four anyway and probably would have ended up in there one way or another. So, you know, the only, you know, added thing that's happening here is the vengeance. We're going to get revenge and make sure they pay for it and make sure that they never breathe air again. It's like, It's just that, you know, intense aggression that's coming their way because of a game move. And, you know, is it that they're doing that? Of course, they're not doing this perfectly. I would say they're doing overall the best that they can, given the circumstances, given the intensity of these vets with their energy towards them, of like, you know, it's got to be intimidating. I mean, it's the things that Jordan said again throughout this episode make me so angry. When, you know, they're telling Jordan, you know, how they are coming to this decision. Oh, you don't have to tell us how to play the game. We've been doing this. Like, shut the fuck up. No one asked you. No one cares. Like, you're on that side of the table. They're on this side of the table and they're explaining to you their thought process. Shut the hell up and get out of the room. Like, no one asked. But hearing, like, the way that he speaks that way, and, like, I'm sitting at home on my couch, and I'm feeling intimidated from the words that are coming out of his mouth. It's just, it's a very, you know, high-pressure situation, and I don't blame Michelle in the slightest for the way that she tries to go to Nani and Laurel and whoever else and say, look, this is the move I had to make. Do you want to talk about it? Can we talk about it? And, I mean, to an extent, Nani and Laurel, I'm sorry, I'm ranting, but it's part of this.
Please, I just did.
Nani and Laurel are fully in their right to be upset about it. The way that that Nani in this episode is going to handle that reaction. I don't want to talk to you. I hate you. You suck. Okay, go throw a fit and, you know, that's fine. But, just like being around that kind of energy, and especially for I don't know how much of like a fan Michelle was coming into the challenge, but like imagine she's like, you know, had watched enough seasons and was enough of a fan of these people that you get to go play with them and now they all hate you. Like, that's also, that's not nothing as well. So I don't know, maybe that's more of a factor for Jay. I feel like he's been more of a fan than Michelle has, but I don't know. Either way, it's people that you not necessarily look up to because they're great people, but like, of course it's not that. It's people that you are looking up to because they are the veterans of this game and they have won this game and they know this game. Some of them have won this game. Anissa and Nani have not. Michelle has won a lot more money than them. I don't know where that came from. But point being, again, if there's a point in here, it's that Michelle and Jay, I do think, are doing a pretty good job handling this the best way that they can. There's no right way to throw in, essentially eight teams over the course of 2 weeks. Like, you've got to figure out a way to do it because that's the format of the game. Should they have won? Should they have not have won this challenge? I don't know. That's another story. That's another discussion. But just the amount of hatred that's coming out towards them from the veterans, from these people that should know how the game is played and should be able to say, good job, you got us, rather than, you know, crying and throwing a fit and making it seem like they're awful, awful people. It's just, it's completely, you know, insane, absurd. It's a lot.
That's the thing, though, is for me, I'm even okay where you were like, oh, like the format of the season or like there's a lot of drama. Like, I want drama, but I don't want like, wow, we're the good people and they're the bad people. And because they made a move in a game against us, like, how horrible are they? Even though I literally did the same thing to this team 2 weeks ago. But that's not relevant in this, of course, because I'm untouchable and great. I don't remember where I saw it, but someone had pointed out, remember on, I believe it was War of the Worlds 1, when Nani like where Cara Maria like expected to have like vet allegiance, and how dare she be thrown in because she's a vet and she's entitled to make it. And Nani was like, I can't believe Cara Maria is like so entitled and this is such a bad look. And it's like, that is you. You are like copy paste put on this season. You are probably worse. And I again am trying to give Nani much more of a pass than I would in like any other situation because of the timeline of the filming of this season. But it's also not out of Nani's character in recent seasons to be very entitled and complaining and you know, to throw a fit against people where it's a little bit unwarranted. So I am really just like watching Nani and Laurel be like, and they're just terrible people and they've showed us who they are. And it's like, you know that you in at least one of your cases, Laurel, and other people like are some of the worst people that have ever been on the show. You're like, they're bad people because they betrayed us. And it's like, well, you've like have been, you're aligned with people who are like racist and transphobic and homophobic and fatphobic and all of the phobics. And it's like, I mean, just to say other people are like bad people, it's like, look at who you surround yourself with.
They certainly are not thinking through that, and never will. It's just, you know, they're completely, and people are like, oh, Michelle's so emotional. Like, yeah, everybody in this situation is so emotional. Laurel, Nani, Jordan, the number one most emotional person in this whole thing that, you know, was in a situation where he could have just, you know, been like, okay, this sucks. I don't want to be down there again. I'll probably still go after them. But no, he had to talk himself into a situation where he was guaranteed going into a elimination. I mean, his chances were, you know, him and Anissa's chances were certainly, you know, not great of not being one of the two teams going in, especially with the Nani Casey of it all. But, you know, guaranteeing yourself by going that you're going in just because you can't keep your mouth closed. So emotions are running high for everybody around here. Everybody and a lot of people are handling it a lot worse and a lot, you know, more entitled like and whatnot. And it's just and let me just also like back up a little bit and say, I'm very happy that I have a lot to talk about. I mean, you know, I would so much rather all of this and me be ranting and raving than, you know, a boring episode where, say, Kim and Colleen had gone out against, you know, Olivia and Horacio. And then, you know, this week it was just, I don't know, who's even left? Is there no more vet, no more rookie teams besides them, right? It's whatever.
Yeah,
just... And then, I don't know, another showdown of Fessel versus Nelson. Like, you know, let's go for round six. So I'm happy with all this that I get, you know, that we get to watch the chaos. But just as, you know, getting into all of the dissection of it all and the way that these people are really acting, of course, it's always in the context of the game and it's always in this and that. And, you know, I'm sure and I hope that most of them are not acting this way to each other in real life. Of course, you can't guarantee that. And I'm sure somebody is, you know, still holding a vengeance. But I mean, you hear at least like, you know, on the podcast, like Anissa last week with Jay and Michelle, like they seemed okay. And we didn't even know what was coming this week, that all of this was you know, bound to happen. But just, you know, there's a level of like, you know, just, all right, that was a lot, but like, I don't hate you. Like I hope that that's happening in real life. And then whenever they get back out there, you know, fine. It's an intense game. I don't know. It's just, again, it's a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of like, I think Anissa came like pretty hard at them on the podcast, and like that's fine. I think it was, given the dynamic of host versus guest, a little weird considering, but whatever. And then it became cordial since then. I think even Michelle just tweeted about it, about how like, so apparently I am desperate for attention, but also can't be bothered, and I need a showman's, but also like don't connect with anybody. It's like everyone just like goes on and we'll talk shit. And even like, I like Nerys, but like Nerys just like randomly piling on like Amber for some reason on Twitter recently. It's just like some of these people are just like always going to have shit talked about them, and it sucks, and it's not like fun. I don't know. It's the problem is, yes, I am also glad to have stuff to talk about. It is the only reason we have stuff to talk about, though, is because, again, I'm giving away my feelings about the long run ramifications of these moves. Michelle and Jay are playing poorly for future seasons. Like, good for this season, but their chances of winning the season are, who knows, you know, one in, let's say, 10, at this point. Whereas, like, they could have many more opportunities in future seasons, and they're probably not going to have those because of the season now.
And you look at somebody, sorry to cut you off, you look at somebody like a Nelson, who is playing that vet game, and he's on season 9 and has had how many wins? So, like,
no, sure.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you can't always just say, well, it's for the future seasons, because at some point you have to either get your way into the core of that alliance, which right now is like Tori and Anissa. You need to like get into the core and Bananas and Nani and whoever else, or you know, you can't be on the surroundings of it, because once you get down to it, they're gonna cut you, Nelson. Like, you're not anywhere near the core of this alliance. So, you know, when he makes a nice safe move and ends up taking out Tommy and Annalise, it's like, all right, great, everybody's happy with you on pretty much both sides of the house, and now how's the rest of the game gonna go for you? So Michelle and Jay make a big move here, and now it's almost guaranteed they have to win an elimination to survive next week or win the daily challenge again, but that would be wild. So it's like, okay, you're playing for 11th versus 10th place, where Nelson's playing for 6th versus 7th place. So what do we do?
I mean, it's hard to say, because Nelson, when he did come in, really did come in as like, I'm gonna take out the vets very early. And I would say, sure, he made the final in Invasion of the Champions, but that was fixed in such a way that a certain number of rookies were going to make it regardless. So like, does well there, but has quite a bit of trouble in many of his other early seasons. I think that Nelson is probably playing in a position that puts himself best set up to make a final and to win it at this point. Unfortunately, it's boring TV, but if you were to ask me, like, who's the best set up in the house right now, Nelson is pretty high up there for me.
Yeah, I can't say that. I feel like he, because we're getting to, you know, it's great and all that Michelle and Jay have won, you know, the past 2 weeks, but especially as you get closer to the end, and you know, all those teams that are on the outs are going to start to get cut. Like, we're eventually everything kind of course corrects into the way of the vets. It's just how we know it all works. You know, do you see any kind of world where the final is like, you know, Nelson and Norris, Fessel and Mariah? Obviously at this point I would have a hard time seeing it be like Jay and Michelle, but like Darrell and Veronica, you know, like all of these teams in that big alliance are gone, or even like half of them are gone. They know how to get there to the end, make it to the final. I mean, it's so formulaic, but that's again why it's so great to have a week where somebody tries to break that all up and you know, whatever. But
I mean, sure, it probably takes a like episode 9 or episode 10 move against like Bananas and Nani to for him to make the final, or to like have a good shot at winning it or taking out most of those big threats. But as of right now, like, the rookie side of the house is still taking shots at the Bananas and Nani, the Jordan and Anissa, etc., whereas that side of the house will be taking shots at the Olivia and Horacio, the Jay and Michelle. I'm sure Amber and Chauncey are below Nelson and Norris at this point. So I still think they're in a pretty good middle spot. I do worry that they could find themselves in the draw at some point. But in general, I think that people are not going to be targeting them in a way that I actually think Darrell and Veronica could find themselves in a nice middle spot coming up. Not that I think that their final chances are great.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Already too much time talking about Nelson. He had nothing to do with any of this. Let's get into some of the other bits, and we'll obviously bounce back out and around all throughout the Jay and Michelle of it all and the Nani of it all and everything else there. Let's kind of get into the Laurel of everything. We're going to, of course, lose Laurel and Jack this week, which, you know, they just survived last week only to now be heading home this week. But as far as Laurel goes in all of this, there seemed to have been an off-screen conversation with Horacio where they came to the conclusion that this isn't really going to work because Horacio has a woman back home that he is seeking out the attention of and hoping to potentially be dating at some point. I don't know. And so Laurel's pretty heartbroken about this. It does seem like they spent a lot of time together. Were you heartbroken about the Horacio breakup?
No, I was thrilled. I just was surprised to see that Laurel was so upset by this. The conversations that we have seen on screen were like nice. I didn't take it to be anything super serious. They laid in beds separate but next to each other, so I guess that seemed to be about as intimate as it got.
Okay, and but have you seen him? Have you seen him? Like, imagine that guy breaking up with
I'm breaking up is a strong word, is my point.
I know.
Yeah. And I don't even think that he, like, was he like, Laurel, we need to stop this? Or was it just like, oh, I'm kind of talking to someone, but like, who knows where that's going? Because obviously, since it was off screen, it didn't seem to me like this needed to be, we need to stop talking. But I don't know. I just, if I'm Laurel, I'm not putting a ton of weight in what is happening with 26-year-old Horacio in this house, in the challenge house.
Right. I mean, again, have you seen him? But it's just like a matter at a certain point of like, not like, oh, we had something so strong and I'm sad it's over. It's like, oh, this guy is like so dreamy and like I thought there was a chance it could be something, and now he's basically saying there is no chance it's anything because I have somebody else. So I get her upset, her being upset, of course. But yeah, so that's that. And I mean, to cut all the way ahead later, we're going to see that she's going to link up with Fessel, and Fessel, who has now lost Colleen, is a free agent, for lack of a better term. So he is going to get some cuddling in there with Laurel, and Laurel's going to head home. So it's not like there's anything more to play out of that. Fessel's trying to avoid the messy of it all, but it's just like Nelson, it just kind of follows them both around wherever they go. So that's that. I don't know. Did you,
Yeah, this was so weird. Like, it felt extremely obvious to me from the beginning of the episode that Laurel would be going home. Like, when it's like, I just can't believe that like Horacio is leaving me, and I can't believe that there was like baby powder in my bed, and like just like crying over every little thing and every confessional. It's like, so these were filmed after she lost an elimination. like that felt very obvious. So it was all watched from like that point of view. And for them to then include this like Fessel and Laurel scene in bed, I was like, but why? Like, did we need this?
I know. It was definitely just some filler. Like there was nothing else to it. Like that was in a very like, intense episode, we had to slow it down just to watch Fessel and Laurel cuddle. But okay. Two people who are not cuddling though is Laurel's partner Jack and Jay. The band, is not really coming back together. They're over in the workout area, and Jack thinks that Jay should be getting his apology ready, but Jay didn't have intentions. And this is the, I guess, portion of the podcast where I will get into my Jack standing, because I'm feeling it. I'm really feeling the standing there. His confessionals have been all season very good, but in this episode in particular, on the first watch, on the rewatch, every single one of them made me laugh or smile. Like he just has a very natural way in that confessional booth, and I really appreciate it. I hope he comes back. He's not saying anything, super like hilarious. Like he's just, he's like, oh yeah, Jay's like at the bottom of the dumpster with the sewage leaking out with the rats and blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, like that's very, average level insult, but like just the way that he says it so calmly and so matter of factly, is great to me. So again, big Jack fan.
I almost feel like it's trying a little hard on the like, you are garbage. Like, okay, cool.
But it
Like,
feels like so authentic. Like it feels so like true to him.
yeah, I don't know. It almost felt a little put on to me, but maybe that's just me. like, it felt like I'm really proud of what I'm saying right now, and it's like it could be like a little more impressive for you to be this proud. I
I was
do, and
proud
that's
of
not me saying I don't like Jack. Like, I do like Jack. I think that Jack would be a worthy returnee in the future. I mean, obviously, I would take basically any returnees besides the like 7-time vets that we are consistently getting. And give them a little break at least. I could have some of them back, but I just I don't know. I am not yet standing.
Okay, I am. That's all we need.
That's good.
But and he does the best he can in that elimination later on. So it's overall, again, good showing from Jack. I feel like there's room to play in future seasons if I mean, Jay and Michelle are kind of locking their ticket in. So if Jack is back, maybe they can reconcile and put the band back together. I don't care about the band, but I don't know. They seemed like they had a good friendship for the time that they had it, and I don't know.
Oh, I just need a follow-up single.
Really, really, it could happen. I don't know what it would be about because I don't know what the first one was about, but either way, I guess to kind of get into the challenge, always, as always, stop me if I'm glossing over something. But
The
to
only
kind
thing I noticed at the
of,
beginning of the episode that I want to talk about is we open with like Olivia comforting Laurel. And she's like, yeah, and Michelle was the only one like cheering for Kim and Colleen. And I know that, like, at this point, Laurel and Horacio have a good relationship, so I'm sure that, like, Olivia and Laurel have connected and have been, like, bonding over that. But at the same time, when she's out here being like, ugh, can you believe Michelle? It's like, Michelle and Jay, who are we protecting? Because everyone seems like, even, like, the only people that I would assume are your, like, allies of these rookies are talking shit about you in the house.
I didn't necessarily take it as that.
I didn't think it was, like, a great sign.
I guess. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if Laurel and Arasi, hello, what's her part? Hello, Jack, the guy who's just standing. If the two of them won this week, of course, like, Olivia and Arasi would be, like, all over them saying, like, keep us safe. Like, you have to throw Jay and Michelle in because it's a dog eat dog kind of, life out there,
Sure.
especially for the rookies. Like, a rookie alliance comes together, great. And then the next week when the vets come into power, they're all throwing each other under the bus. So I didn't take it as that serious.
Yeah, I don't even like blame them for it. I just was interested in like her volunteering the information. Like, oh, Michelle was like, what was Michelle doing? It's like, okay, like who are you aligned with at this point?
Olivia's also just a mess or messy.
A mess was fine.
Let's to get into the challenge, and I kind of want to incorporate, the Benani scene that, happened before the challenge into all of this because it's like in the preview for last week, it was like Bananas and Nani are not on the same page anymore. What's happening with these two? And it was just, a bit of an argument during the challenge where Nani seemed like she really wanted to win this challenge. Bananas was goofing around the entire time. And I think in the post episode timeline has kind of mentioned once or twice that he wasn't trying to win. He was definitely. And he said it on the episode too. He's like, if we had won, we would have had to said some names that we probably didn't want to say. So this was not really the week for us to win. And that's, the veteran mindset of knowing the best time to win and the times not to win. But Nani, who is, got such a purpose this season and wanted to make sure that she was safe and protected and that Casey's safe and protected, felt like this was a week that she wanted to get the win. So, the drama with the two of them was a through line also here.
Yeah, it was interesting to see all of a sudden Nani is like the most serious competitor of all time. like, I think Bananas like getting annoyed, like being like Nani, like being like disrespecting me in front of people, like isn't how this should be done. It's like, all right, then stop joking around. And I didn't even take it to be like that distracting of jokes that he was making. I didn't think Bananas was like ruining their chances of winning the challenge, but. Like, if Nani wants you to focus, then, like, maybe just focus.
Yeah, I mean, Bananas, that's again, I guess we go back to the discussion point. Is Bananas fun? Is he fun to be around? according to Nani, at a time like this, no. But again, he didn't care. He didn't want to win. So he was just being goofy, silly. And Nani was getting very frustrated. It was like, of course, later we're going to see Nani actually very frustrated in the sense of, like, with Jay and Michelle. And you were saying earlier, which of course I'm kind of on the same page with you about, of like this does feel like a season where we need to give Nani a little bit more grace and whatever, because she's going through a lot of emotions and she's doing this season again with a bit of a different purpose and whatnot. So, she's not, she's not to say done grieving, and she never, I mean, nobody's ever done grieving, especially a parent, but in this environment, and emotions are so heightened, it's just bringing out this side of her that, like, it's hard. It's not like I'm like rooting actively against her, but it's so hard to be like rooting
I
for
am.
her like this.
I don't want Nani and Bananas to win this season so
I mean, I don't want them to win either, but I'm
badly.
not like, I guess that, I guess if I'm not rooting for them, am I rooting against them? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, you could be like a neutral party. I think I'm rooting against them. like, and it's not like, oh, I just have like one other favorite above them. Like, no, like I actively don't want them to win this season. And that's fine. I have been struggling with whether or not I want to continue watching them on this season because when you asked me early on, like, what did you want Bananas and Nani to just like revolving door go right back home? The answer was no. As we've moved on a couple weeks, I'm just like, I don't know if this is the energy that I want. And again, giving grace, but like maybe it's just not the right place. at this time.
This challenge was called Down the Line. It was, you know, if you didn't watch and you're just listening to us, it was a pretty cool, different, like, you know, legs to the challenge. I liked it at least. You had to dig for some pieces. One partner would crank the zip line to get the buoy all the way as far down as possible so that when the next person finds their bag, they could zip line down as far as close to the platform that they need to get to as possible. Eventually, both partners will end up on the platform at the end, put some puzzles together, which is just a couple of word puzzles, get like five different words, and the fastest team in each heat, of course, will. Well, there's one winner in each heat, just like we've been doing lately, and then the overall fastest person will win. Just as an overall, did you like this one?
No. So I think it could have been okay. I thought it really honestly was always going to be boring to watch on TV. I just don't find, like, digging a hole or, like, solving a word puzzle that you don't show us all the letters to be particularly engaging, especially when basically everyone has talked about how that hole was – like, some of the bags were outside of the bounds, some of them were way too deep, some of them were so it just seemed completely inconsistent and, like, very random. I think that it could have been okay. One of my other things, again, they, like, I couldn't, like, follow along on this word puzzle at all, so it wasn't interesting. Now my question is, what do you think of the word amigo being included?
That's a tough question. I feel like I was thinking, you know, thinking about it while watching. It's like, they never said, you know, name five English words.
So, sure. Now, I would like to go back to a question we had last week. Of Kim and Colleen are thrown into an elimination, mm-hmm. and I said, huh, that's strange. Why didn't they speak German? And it turns out Colleen has talked about they were not allowed to speak German. And so, first of all, hate that decision so much. If you are casting people from around the world where English is not their first language, then you should be adapting the show in order to accommodate that. But now, when we have that ruling of only English is allowed, there are no words not in English allowed on this show, and then the puzzle to the next week's challenge is a non-English word, I would never ever think to look for a non-English word given that we have made that ruling in the past. I think it is so weird and confusing, and, like, the rules on the challenge are never consistent, but, like, it just, for me, it's like one more, like, do I have a problem with the word amigo being used? No, but I have a problem with, like, so many inconsistencies across the challenge in general that I wanted to highlight it and thought it was so weird.
Yeah, that's fair. No notes. I have nothing else to add. I think that that's a very valid point.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, I thought it was funny that TJ was like, I love this challenge. And I was like, this one? Like, this is what it is? I feel like he made a really big point about how much he liked it. My only other, like, random note was TJ just wearing, like, a white V-neck undershirt. Like, did he get a stain on the jacket he was supposed to be wearing? like, a little casual TJ.
Yeah, between this challenge and then, you know, his enjoyment of the elimination winners, he was having a great episode, really enjoying himself out there. But Jay and Michelle win the first heat because they are the first ones to find the word amigo, which we are talking about here. You know, kind of a surprise. They came from what seemed like so far behind while Nani and Bananas are yelling at each other. Devin is the first one at the platform and him and Tori can't figure it out. So Jay and Michelle swoop on in and get the win there. And then in the second heat, we're going to see Olivia and Aracia. We're going to be the winners of that one. The only drama really throughout there was Casey could not dig up a bag, and Nani was very hopeful that she would find her bag. And, you know, there's nothing like true love where one person is just so crushed watching their partner try to find a bag that they can't find. It's tough. Well,
I also am rooting for everyone I have positive feelings towards to get their bag, but I'm just, like, not very interesting in terms of carrying a full second heat of this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that was, again, the only excitement through it all. Jordan being like, I know what she feels. I've watched Tori try to get so many bags before, and sometimes she just can't get them.
Yeah, I might have checked Twitter.
Yeah, but again, Jay and Michelle win this one. Jay was kind of hoping that they didn't, as he says in confessional, because Olivia and Aracia would have been a perfectly good winner team for them. They would have been safe, and hopefully a similar move would have been made. I mean, do you want to go down that road at all? Like, would they have made as strong of a, you know, all four teams being vets kind of deal?
think probably stronger. Like maybe it wouldn't have been Laurel and Jack. Maybe there was enough fallout from that conversation where it would have been. But like maybe we see Devin and Tori in there as well. So
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know.
I keep forgetting about those two because Michelle had,
False.
famously, we're gonna get to, I guess now, made a deal with Devin, a one day deal where if
Good.
either of the two teams won, that they would not have gone in against each other or against each other, they would not have gone into elimination. So the one day deal was in place here, and that like removed Tori and Devin from everything that was going on in this episode. So I did just keep forgetting they were there.
It was so wild to me that it's like, well, we can't do it because we have a one day deal. If they throw us in next time, like, aw, shucks, like that sucks, but gotta betray every single other person on the cast because we have a one day deal with two of the snakiest people on the entire cast.
Yeah. I guess is well, so before we get to the deliberation, because this is where we're gonna start to get to the process of, who we're going to piss off this week. One of the teams that feels like an obvious pick for them to put in again is one of the teams that they put in last week that, obviously we're upset with them putting them in last week, but I guess this is again where we get right into it. Is it worthwhile that we make Anissa and Jordan doubly upset, or do we make another team also a little bit upset while hopefully Anissa and Jordan are getting over their last week upset?
It's the thing where they're like, well, you're proving yourself to be untrustworthy. So go prove yourself to be untrustworthy to another team and like keep pissing more people off. Like, I just don't know who else there was. And that's the problem where Devin on the podcast was asking Anissa, like, who else should it have been? Like, there is no other option. It was never going to be Nelson. It was never going to be Fessy. It was never going to be Amber. So, like, not Olivia and Horacio. Like, Veronica and Darrell, is that the only other team? Devin and Tori, like, I don't think they were advocating for that. So there was so few options, and I know that we joked when Jay said, like, well, the numbers are really dwindling, but when you have to throw four teams in, I guess they
Yeah.
are.
Jordan is gonna start with the whole intimidation of it all here, being like, and stop me if it's if I'm being like, because at points I wanted to start tweeting about Jordan in the sense of like, I know we all kind of are careful with the word bullying in reality TV, but I was feeling a little bit of that towards from.
I just in general am more careful with the word, but or not even like more careful is like, how dare Jordan be labeled a bully? Because Jordan is many worse things than a bully, or has been at least. But what I would say is, I don't know that I would like look at this behavior and say that like Jay was bullied. I would say that Jordan definitely was using intimidation tactics, which was a word that many of these vets love to throw on Turbo early on. And it's like, oh, so you're allowed to do it though. So you are, it's not a problem when you do it. So like, yeah, sure. Was Jordan using intimidation tactics? Sure. But was Jay like, it was Jordan like running around the house harassing Jay at every moment? Like, no. And I think that we've seen many more people on this cast do way worse in terms of that.
Right. Again, it just the way that he was talking to them
Sure.
was overall not my favorite. So he was pointing out, well, last time you threw us in because you said you didn't know where our heads were at, but now you do. Now you know where our heads are at, and we're with you guys, so there's no reason you should put us in. Even though he, like, right before he says that, acknowledges, well, yeah, it definitely makes sense that you would put the same team in twice, but you shouldn't do it. So, they're just hoping, I guess, and praying at this point, Jordan and Anissa, that they're not going to be thrown in, and we get to the deliberation, and so the way that it goes is pretty obvious. Laurel and Jack, of course, are going to go in. Bananas and Nani, they say, are a no-brainer.
That was interesting, considering the week before it was like they got so much blood on their hands, it seemed, by the act of not putting in Nani and Bananas. And to what's I didn't see a way that it was not throwing away the goodwill that you built up last week. Maybe they decided that like it was too much drama outside of the goodwill that they gained from Nani and Bananas to like continue that moving forward. But it felt weird to throw that away when you've already made that move.
It's also, I mean, look, the game changes day to day, hour to hour. So they did that last week. They made that move and said, we're going to keep you guys safe. And then I would imagine they felt, the vibes throughout the house for the past couple of days since then. And they probably said, Banana still doesn't, Jay's probably thinking, Banana still doesn't look my way when, we spend, when we're having breakfast. He won't even look at me or talk to me. So, like, no, he still doesn't like me. He's not going to protect protect me. So, you know, now that he has this chance to kind of correct that, and, you know, the way that Jay was looking at all of this was like, well, if we can get Bananas to go, like, that's not a bad thing. You know, throughout all of this, again, these two are never going to be friends. I guess it makes sense that it's a no-brainer. It just does feel so jarring after, you know, last week was such a concerted effort to save them, but whatever. Yeah. But
here's my thing. So we see both, like, Anissa and Jordan making it to their face the argument of, like, we're not coming for you unless you continue to come for us. And Nani and Bananas, like, even later after the interrogation, are like, and we would have said other people's names who didn't we want to see. Do you believe it on both counts that they would have kept Jay and Michelle safe?
Not even a little bit, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I wondered, like, did it push them above, like, Fessy on Bananas and Nani's list? Like, maybe. But I think that they would probably throw Jay and Michelle in still above, like, even Nelson, who I don't think that they have, like, the closest relationship with. I think there's no chance that they go above, like, Anissa and Jordan or Tori and Devin or a couple other of the vet teams, whoever you want to say. So I don't think that they really lost all that much goodwill here. unfortunately for them, it's like, you should have just done this last week.
Right.
I think a lot of people do.
And they, you know, they learned from their lesson last week of like, well, we can't put in a rookie team or a weaker team or whatever because Kim and Colleen will go home and we can't have that happen again. That's a waste of our time. So, you know, putting Darrell and Veronica in is pretty much sending them home. You know, so you're A, keeping them on your side by not putting them in again. You know, Darrell and Veronica will, you know, kind of remember that going forward. I think. Also, they're not winning anything, so, you know, hard to count them in.
Well, that's the problem.
Right. They, I think, have the same issue that they're feeling with Amber and Chauncey of they call them dead weight, or Jay does. So, you know, I don't think.
So weird.
Yeah. I don't know if they meant it as harsh as it came off, but they're not winning anything either.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Are you only valuing, like, Olivia Naracio at this point? Like, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, Fessel's won. Olivia Naracio have won, like, some eliminations. Nelson's won a daily now at this point, shockingly enough. And I get, like, Amber and Chauncey haven't won, like, one challenge yet. But I don't know. Jay, like, how many dailies were you winning before these two?
Yeah. Wait, I totally lost my train of thought. But I completely lost my train of thought. Casey and Kenny, Bananas and Nani, obviously are all in consideration here. What do you think of Casey and Kenny being brought in? I mean, was it specifically just to be like, oh, Nani, you have someone that'll save you and you save her?
I think so, because I do think that this was where I was a little worried for them. I think it's harder when dealing with specifically like Fessel and Casey saying like, oh, we should have, and like Amber, like we should have this CBS alliance. And I think that that's something that doesn't get shown basically at all on TV, but could have like some legs. I don't think obviously Casey is going to portray like obviously Nani, but even some of like a Tori or Anissa for them. But I think it's like a loose alliance that they can hold on to when they basically have nothing else to hold on to. So giving that up in throwing Casey in, I did think was a little curious, but I guess it's just lack of other options because I don't know that throwing in Darrell and Veronica is a better move because, like you said, they're not winning anything. So great, someone's mad at you who's not going to win things in the future, but they're also not going to be able to win the elimination. It's hard. I think they're probably then like automatically getting thrown in. In my head, I'm still debating like Casey and Kenny, Darrell and Veronica. I don't know which was the better move.
I mean, if you are trying to save any kind of face with Nani and Bananas, it's like, yeah, it's so tough because Casey and Kenny going in, you know, neither of them are going to be the pick. So there's a 66% chance that they are both saved and not having to go in. For Nani and Bananas, the situation that they ended up in, I think Nani, you know, understood and Bananas understood that, you know, not only is it like, you know, a good chance that they can save each other, but there's a good chance Nani and Bananas are saved no matter what, because the third team is probably going to save them because there's a less of a connection to Casey and Kenny from whoever that third team is going to be. But Nani's still, you know, concerned. Well, if something happens and my girlfriend goes home, I'm not going to be happy. So it was, you know, very complex all around. And maybe if Michelle and Jay had, you know, made the perfect decision last week, which was not maybe Darrell, Veronica, and, you know, Kim and Colleen being in there, then maybe this week would have been easier for just to be like, oh, well, it's the same people going in back to back. I don't know.
Imagine like where this four had gone in last week, and then someone goes home, and then Devin and Tori go in instead of them this week. Like, it could have been so good. It could have been so good.
And even like the team that does ultimately go home, Laurel and Jack, it's like, okay, there really is not any impact on like the Big Vet Alliance. Like, you didn't break it up at all. Like, Jordan and Anissa going home would have broken it up.
Yeah, I think that is very fair. I think that they are the most isolated socially. I think they're a pretty good team. I think that they could have won, whether it be challenges, more eliminations. I think that that is on the table. And I do find Laurel to be one of the more insufferable people. So I'm not mad about that point. But I do agree that the alliance as a whole, it's not like a central piece fell out of the game by any means.
Let's get to the interrogation, and let's start with Laurel and Jack. And they talked a lot more this week than last week.
I actually thought, not terrible play by Laurel this week.
I mean, she spoke words. So yeah. Jack was impressed in saying that this is the greatest thing he's ever seen, and it's free. And I, again, like that confessional. But Laurel, you know, just at least, again, just talking and saying like, so like, I get it, but like, I'm a little confused as well, because these are different people from last time. So what's the angle here? And just like trying to, you know, calmly talk to them and say, you know what, if we come back, maybe we'll figure something out, which is just so much more than she was giving them last week.
Well, that's the thing, is I'm not even grading on a curve. It's not like, oh, Laurel didn't punch her in the face, good job. Like, Laurel actually was like, you know, if we're not the main vote, like, maybe we can come back in, we can try to like figure something out, like, yada yada, and like had is somewhat of an argument. My problem is though, like, why do that and then later be in the house being like, I hate Michelle. Like, you're so loud. You're screaming this like to her face. So I don't really understand the point of trying to politic if you are just going to just be an asshole in the house later. But it was good in the moment.
Yeah. I don't know if Jack got the free show of Laurel, you know, throwing a fit as well later on. But what'd you think of Kenny Clark getting to speak?
This is a man on the show, apparently. I don't know. I think I saw him at one point, mistook him for, I don't even know who. I think he was like, is CT on this season? It was like the side of his head or something.
Excuse
I was
you?
Like, I don't know. I was like, who could this possibly be? Just like literally the fact that I thought Kenny was CT shows you like how improbable I thought that Kenny could actually be on this show. Like, oh, that must be CT in disguise.
Because I would say apologize to CT, but I don't think anyone needs to ever apologize to CT. But otherwise, yeah.
It was a zoomed in angle on like the
all right whatever.
Back 3/4 of his head. I was like, who is that?
But Nani is going to get their time to talk to them, and again, Nani is just, you know, very very upset thinking about the idea that Casey could go in, especially the idea of like, well, what if the two of us go in against each other, which is like, Nani, that's not happening. Like, unless like they were really betraying you guys and putting you guys in as the main vote, that's not happening. So just take a breather. So Bananas is trying his best to keep Nani nice and calm.
Yeah, like that'd be like a top 10 challenge betrayal if that was the case. Like, oh, actually, Nani and Bananas, you're the main vote, and Casey's getting screwed going into the draw. Would be very interesting.
Yeah, Sarah Rice would be on the phone with Michelle the second she gets home, being like, you are my queen.
She would have paid money, actual money, to see it happen.
For sure. And then Anissa and Jordan go in, and again, they're all fired up with everything, especially Jordan, who is like, you don't have to explain to us how to play the challenge, but, you told everybody this and you promised everybody that. And Jay's like, no, we didn't. He's like, well, you promised them this person. No, we didn't. You promised this person. No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
The thing is, it's hard. I don't like it. Jordan is good at the game in this manner of like being able to get under people's skin. I don't always think it like aids in what he's trying to accomplish. It's like Jay reacts so quickly of like, well, do you want to be the main vote? It's like, okay, well, that's exactly almost what he like wanted. It's not what he should want, but what he's doing is effective. It's getting under you, it's shaking you. So it's like you are actively getting a bad outcome, but you're getting the one that you're looking for, Jordan.
And Jordan goes from, you know, having a 33% chance of going into elimination to having a 50? No.
66.
66. 6% chance of going in. Oh, to a 50%. No, to 100% chance of going in.
Yes.
Going home is a different math problem that I'm not doing. but again, put himself in a situation where he was now, you know, pissing off the team that is giving them the opportunity to that, not giving them an opportunity, that's putting them right into elimination. So, you know what? If that's what you were going for, to show how tough you are and show that you don't care, whatever, like, okay, by all means. And, you know, you go get them next week. You get that revenge. Good for you.
Yeah, I feel like that was the thing with a lot of these vet teams. Where it was like, this is the first time I'm not even scared to go into elimination. It's like, well, congrats for the first time in 19 seasons. but also, like, not everyone. Jordan, I will give it to him. He is dumb enough to throw himself in many times. I don't know. Like, why? Why are we now all of a sudden fired up about going into eliminations because you see the writing on the wall for the first time in a decade?
And, like, do they really also, like... I don't know where to go with this one, but like, do they really have to give us in the same episode Jordan and Anissa being awful and annoying and people that I'm really rooting against? And then also like, oh, we're both representation for people that, you know, in, you know, two different groups and whatnot. I'm like, that's nice content, but like here, like just, I'm just mad at them. And
a good scene. I think that we're supposed to be rooting for them at this point. Is the thing. I don't think that Jordan is supposed to be as unlikable as you are finding him in this moment. And I wonder what the average challenge fan would say about Jordan.
Well, he's certainly not supposed to be presented as unlikable as I'm finding him, because he's still on the challenge. Like, the fact that he's still cast on the show tells you that, you know, MTV isn't trying to paint him in this light.
For sure.
They think this is like a glowing edit for him, that he's standing up to the bad guys that are being so mean and winning challenges and doing bad things to the vets. Like, whatever.
It's also really funny to me, just people being like, I am so hyped to get into this challenge, into this elimination. I'm going to kick their ass by throwing a ball through a flimsy piece of paper. Like, okay, you're cool and tough. Like, whatever.
Literally.
Sometimes the challenge is so stupid when you think about it.
Sometimes. Just sometimes. What do you think of both, like during the interrogation and then later on as well? Michelle's getting, you know, a little upset throughout a couple of different times here about, you know, what the moves they're making and the people that they're, you know, I'm making air quotes, hurting. And just all of this is like, you know, the effect that the veterans are having of, you know, making her feel bad about this is working on her, and Jay's trying to help her out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fair reaction. I don't think that Michelle in her two games of Survivor, to be fair, really like made a lot of people personally feel terrible in the way that she is doing in this game. She definitely was like in the majority and in control for like a pretty good amount of her first season, not really as much for the second. So, but this season it's like she is in direct control, controlling the fate of people, whether they are going home or not, has already established relationships with these people. And like, what is good for some of the relationships she has, not good for the rest of them, and like also bad for her game. So she's in a tough spot, and to see her like struggle with that, I don't find super surprising, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough game for anybody, and some people that turn into like robots after a couple of seasons, like, okay, good. I guess this is your career anyway. So if you can get through all this stuff, I mean, I'm not saying they're robots in the sense that they're never going to get emotional, but some people that know how to take a lot of this stuff and can get through it a little bit easier. And maybe that comes with all the years of experience and whatnot. And Michelle's on, you know, a couple of years of experience being on reality shows, but this is a different game, a new crop of people, or a different crop of people that, you know, not to their credit or whatever, or to their whatever, have done a lot of these seasons. And that, you know, when the numbers stack up against you of like Bananas on his 16th season or 20th season and Anissa's on her 45th season, you know, it's like, it is intimidating when these people are telling you that you're awful and that you're whatever. So, you know, again, well, I don't know. The connection with Jay and Michelle, it continues to warm my heart. And I'm glad that they're growing even closer this season. And you know, I'm just rooting for nothing but the best for those two.
It's a cute friendship.
It is. Banani makes up.
Yay. yeah, I don't know. What? Nani stresses that she like really wants to win. The more interesting part I thought was well, again, Nani is like, we really would have like protected them. Like, I don't believe that. and then yeah. Casey entering and being like, oh, they showed like their colors. And so that's where I'm like, all right, they gave you guys like the best scenario possible, I guess, in this move. It's not great that they risked your game at all, and I definitely would be on the lookout, but I feel like the vendetta is a little strong.
Yeah. And we're going to see in the next conversation with Laurel and Nani about how strong this vendetta is, where they're just on the couch, you know, how horrible Michelle is, all this stuff. Why would she even bother to say this and that and whatever? And then Michelle comes over to again talk to them and just see if she can try to get a smile out of anybody and, you know, whatever. It's not going to work. Nani's fired up. She just wants nothing to do with Michelle. She's, you know, I don't trust you, so stay away from me. Let me focus on what I have to do. And then Michelle walks away and she's like, you know, all this stuff. Girl, bye. I just met you. Like, take your apology somewhere else. I don't care. You suck. Stop breathing air. You know, so it's, we keep getting into this very unhappy Nani in this episode. It's, again, not the most fun to watch, but these are the emotions she's feeling, and sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do what's wild. This is not like particularly relevant. Nani is only 1 year older than Michelle.
Nani is 1 year older than... Did you say Michelle?
Yes.
Oh, I think you said then the show, and I was like,
no.
Second,
well, that wouldn't
there?
Make any sense. Michelle. I don't know. It just... Nani having been on reality TV for the last, like, 107 years really, like, warps things, especially when Michelle is, like, two seasons deep. Yeah. I feel like the casting pool has gotten a little bit older, which I'm actually not upset about, but it's always, like, very jarring when you have the two different, like, generations of the challenge, and they're, like, the same age.
Yeah, Nani must have started when she was, what, 21, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not super relevant, but I don't know. In watching the scene, it's always like, oh, like, Nani versus, like, Michelle, who has been here for, you know, four episodes before this season. And yet, you know, it's they're basically the same age. Very interesting. Yeah.
Nani is just... You know, Nani's an eight, so let's get that out of the way. Where, so she's just, you know, fully the type of person that's just going to say it. However, it makes you feel, and that's fine. And she is, you know, you cross her once, and that's it. It's over.
I don't know if I feel like Nani's definitely an eight. I could see it, but in terms of, I guess, if people don't know Enneagrams. Maybe I'm not the best at diagnosing, would you say?
But... depending on what number you are, yeah, sure. and of course Laurel's jumping in on all this as well, you know, about how horrible Michelle is and all this stuff. So I don't know, just more of all this that's making me mad, but also I'm of course very biased as somebody coming in heavily in Michelle's corner. So that's that.
Yeah.
Elimination. So are we or are we not blindsided when Jay reveals that it is Anissa and Jordan going in?
I think I was surprised. The episode did hint at it, but I almost thought it was more of like trying to throw us off. And I also think that that was partially just because it was so obvious Laurel lost based on all the confessionals crying all episode that I was just so like set on them being there that it felt like in inevitability no matter how it happened. So it felt like pretty obvious that she would be there, and I just assumed it would have been by Jay and Michelle's hand directly.
I was surprised when they were the main vote, but also not surprised because I was happy for Jay that he got to stick that to Jordan in whatever way it was. I mean, of course Jordan comes back, but like to be like, you were being an asshole, so now you can send yourself right in. I mean, it was again probably going to be this elimination matchup either way, or it was almost definitely because Nani picks first. Nani was safe, is going to save Casey just as she does. And you know, we get this elimination matchup regardless. So, you know, Anissa and Jay get one more chance to Anissa and Jordan get one more chance to, you know, throw some digs over to Jay, which it felt like TJ was encouraging. So bad TJ. I didn't like that. But
yep.
I mean, he always like asks, you know, what do you think about
this?
He
has his favorites.
Yeah. I mean, look at the way he reacted after this elimination. Like, Jordan, you did so well picking the exact right target. And Anissa, you blocked those shots and didn't give Laurel a chance.
Like, yeah, TJ, it's embarrassing. Like, you're the host. Like, stop standing them.
I know. Like, close your mouth, wipe the drool. It's Jordan Wisely and Anissa Ferreira. Like, yeah. It's...
Do better.
Please. I'd better hear this next week when Michelle and Jay get eliminated.
When they inevitably go home next episode. Yes. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I better hear praise for those two from them, because you know the rest of the crowd's not going to get it or offer it.
I will say, I think what throwing Anissa and Jordan in directly does get that I like. Apparently, Laurel is both Banana's and Nani's best friend in the whole world. So it makes it even more personal. I don't know that it would have been so emotional, like with Banana's having to throw Jordan in. Like, I think he would have gotten over it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're all like good friends, but apparently they are so close with Laurel, which I think, like, we've known they had a good relationship, but not as close as it seemed throwing this in. So I will take, you know, making the vets suffer just a little bit.
Laurel sounds like she had a transformative season. She posted on Instagram talking about how she really opened up a lot more this season than she ever has before. Anissa was talking about how she feels like this season she really got to know Laurel after knowing her for all these years. She like really got to know her or whatever that, you know, whatever that means. So, and we see, you know, Laurel opening up to Horacio and I guess a little bit to Fessy or whatever you would call that. So, you know, coming off of a season where she was so embarrassed and unhappy with her performance or, you know, being eliminated so early with the chaos that was there with the ninja elimination. And she comes on this season with somebody that like is so close to her. Like you can tell the Laurel and Jack dynamic is so true and real. And, you know, they talked about, you know, Laurel's mom looked at Jack as like a son kind of thing. So you can tell that these two are close. So I think that had a lot to do with it, of Laurel having somebody there that is like a true loved one for her. So I'm glad that that happened for her, but I don't know. Laurel is somebody that I could at any given moment be fully defending and then fully not, what's the opposite of defending? Whatever that is.
Criticizing,
there's a good word. Because she's just a very hot and cold personality. So, you know, that's why she's a good person on the show. Sorry, guys.
I'm going to stick to criticizing. I do have a question, so I guess we can get to, like, with Laurel going home, we can talk about the elimination a little bit if we want to. But I would say, as you highlighted, Laurel has an early exit last time she's on War of the Worlds 2, episode 4, ultimately goes out here on episode 6. Previous to that, she had made it far in Invasion of the Champions, but goes home in an elimination that I think most people expected her to win pretty late on. And before that, had like always made the final. Are we seeing a Laurel that is no longer as dominant as she used to be? Are we expecting that if she does end up coming back, she could find herself right back up at the top? Or are Laurel's best challenge days behind her?
Laurel's best challenge days are probably behind her. I will say that, but also say I don't think it's anywhere, I don't think you would say this either, like impossible that she can do well still on the show. I feel like, you know, this alliance that she was certainly not at the core of, again, it's all about the core of this vacation group. Like they've been on every single of the past couple seasons. And even though Bananas missed one or two, he's still Johnny Bananas and he comes bouncing right back in. But, you know, for someone like Anissa to say, this is the first time I've gotten to know Laurel, like you need to have that deep connection with some of these people in order to be so far into their group that they're going to protect you all the way down to the end. Because even if Laurel didn't go home this week, I still feel like she's almost as much on the outs as like Nelson is. I mean, sure, excuse me, she has the connection to Bananas and Nani that they're, you know, best friends for life. They, I think, were birthed at the exact same time from the same, never mind. But sorry. I'm like, I'm getting so close to like losing my voice, so I'm like trying to rush through the things that I'm saying even more. But so now just nonsense is coming out. But they, I don't think that it, again, it's impossible that she ever does well again. I think she just needs to kind of regain her footing, and that requires being on more than just once every six seasons.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that Laurel is not the best social player, even when she is showing up every season. So for her to be taking so many breaks, I think it's going to be tough to find herself at the beginning. You said like, oh, even Bananas is Bananas, but I think Bananas is benefiting greatly from having Nani as a partner who has been on a bunch of the last couple seasons. I think that if he had been paired with some rando, would have been much more expendable to certain people in this element, in this alliance. So I think that she finds herself in a tough position there. I do also think that during Laurel's like truly best days on the show, I think that the women's competition was a little weaker. I think that they cast much more competitively on the women's side now. And so she doesn't have as easy of a road to the end. So I think that contributes also to why we've seen Laurel go out a little earlier in these last couple seasons. So I think Laurel is still very capable of doing well, but not a obvious number one pick as she may have been in the past for me.
Yeah, that's for sure. As far as this elimination goes, any thoughts on, you know, besides TJ's, you know, salivating over Jordan and Anissa?
It was fine. I don't know. Again, like, not super compelling television. I made fun of it before with, like, you know, gently toss a dodgeball over someone's head through a flimsy piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I would say replacement level elimination for
now. Yeah, we tried to get emotional with it. Jack being like, I loved that Jordan was so encouraging. Jordan has an effect on these gay men. I mean, Tommy was falling over himself after he found out what Jordan had to say about him in that confessional on the way out. And now Jack here is like, Jordan was so nice to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, like, even people who are deeply, deeply flawed can have, like, some good parts of them. And I think Jordan has always been extremely charismatic. I think that there are very positive attributes to Jordan, which have made him as popular on the show as he has. So it's not surprising. Like, that is one thing that, if you're going to give Jordan credit, like, he is very sportsmanlike in... so long as he's winning. Mm-hmm. He definitely throws a giant tantrum if he thinks that things are unfair. But generally, like, is, I don't even know that I want to say nice, but, like, he's super charismatic. I will say that.
Yeah, Laurel and Jordan exchange a big hug after the elimination because she's obviously very sad and he seems sad that she's leaving as well. And to turn from all of that, it just, again, we're going to close out the episode on everybody possibly, you know, involved talking about get revenge on them. Don't let them win. Don't let them do well.
And so I was almost thinking before about how like, yes, there were always entitled vets, at least. I think I would appreciate Wes a lot more on a rewatch. Not that I didn't, you know, appreciate his, what he brought to the show in the time, but I think I would have been more Team Wes even now. And, like, RJ and Michelle, basically, like, the Wes of this season, like, maybe. Like, they're kind of vets, but also not respected by any of them and trying to work with the rookies. And, like, basically the only reason this season has any real drama.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's it.
That is it.
I think
that's the challenge.
I got a little something going on. So whatever that is within my system right now, it's telling me to stop talking so much. So I know we had so much more to say, but I will cut us a little short here, already past the hour mark. So that's it for now. I've done the ranting and the yelling and all that stuff. So I did not listen to Bananas' podcast this week. I will probably listen to it tomorrow. So if I remember anything by a week from now, then we'll work on that. But also a week from now is Thanksgiving. So you and I will figure out to get back together. Unless you're free on Thanksgiving, I probably will have time, but I don't expect
depending on the time of night, we'll see.
Well, I think we honestly did record last year on Thanksgiving.
That seems to be right.
I feel like we did on, like, the very end of the day. Because
I think it might be possible.
All right, we'll figure that out. You got to make sure that you talk about Jordan Wisely and Anissa Ferreira and their dominating challenge performances, whether it's Thanksgiving or not, because what else is there to be thankful for? Anything else from you on this week?
No, I will not be listening to the Laurel and Bananas podcast. I have read just a little bit of how they complain about the rookies on Reddit, and that's enough for me. otherwise, you know, just excited to be talking about another season of The Challenge that is frustrating, but definitely not boring. So,
I actually did hop into a Twitter space yesterday, last night, that Michelle was in, and she was speaking in it. Olivia was in there. Nerys was in there. I feel like somebody, Chauncey was in there, but he wasn't talking at all. And just the overall vibe was, like, talking, of course, about Michelle and her decisions while she was there. And, like, her spirits seemed okay. Granted, she mentioned she was a couple of glasses of wine in, but she seemed okay. She made a comment. And then again, later she was on Instagram Live with Jay and she was like, you know what? A lot of people have a lot of bad things to say, but she's like, but, you know, I love the attention. And again, I was like, is this the wine talking or I don't know. But I hope that's true. And I hope that she's enjoying, being the main character of the challenge for both, of the past two episodes. And hopefully more episodes to come, but of course I'm very worried for her, you know, next week and the week after, whatever week they don't win the main challenge next. So that's that. But yeah, so that's all I got.
All right. Yeah. I would say, that seems to be it for the episode, huh?
Okay. Any plugs on your end?
What would I be plugging? Anything that I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I don't think I have anything immediately pressing to plug at the moment.
You verified yet?
No, I am not. Are you? If one of us was going to be right now.
Yeah. We took the Twitter blue down, so that's not even a possibility at this time. Of course, also, I'm on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Recently did some Nothing But Netflix, so check that out. If you feel like checking out the new Netflix Christmas movie, Falling for Christmas, with Lindsay Lohan and Cord Overstreet. So I was always going to be watching that, and luckily got a chance to podcast about it with Robin Chappelle. So check that out on the Nothing But Netflix feed over on RHAP. If you have not already, you don't even have to watch the movie if you don't want to. Just listen to us talk about it. So that's it. That's all we got for this week. We'll catch you next week, Thanksgiving week, with another episode of The Challenge, Ride or Dies. But until then, take care, everybody.